This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
I'm dancing by myself today.
Good morning. Welcome to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio.
My goodness, I didn't know you were there.
With Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Holland. How are you, Charlie?
I'm great. You're breaking up like crazy. Where are you?
I am at the cottage.
Beautiful
it's,
day.
It's the weekend to put the cottage to bed. And so I'm up here. We're putting it to bed this weekend.
Nice. Beautiful, beautiful weather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you are at Zoomerplex.
I am in the studio. I am waving to everybody who might be watching online. And Anthony's waving back. So here we are. Did you want to just do the numbers and then I'll... sort of jump in with a couple of little announcements?
I would love to do that. Yes, we would love for you to give us a call if you live in Toronto. Of course, the number is 416-360-0740. Or if you live outside Toronto, but still anywhere within the province of Ontario, here is a toll-free number to use, 1-866-740-4740. Okay, and we would love for you to let Anthony know if you are a first-time caller, and then I, of course, will give you the garden wings, and we would love for you to call often, call early. That's a good one, yeah, and one question per call, please, okay? And what do you got for us, Charlie?
So you sound pretty jazzy. Is it like a gorgeous day at the cottage?
It is pretty nice, but it's, you know, I have to say, we were, as we were going through Aurelia, we had, you know, I gassed up, and there was a truck beside us that was covered in snow.
Wow, really? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I almost asked him, I wanted to ask him where he was coming from.
Of course, yeah.
Because I thought he was chipping it off the back of his truck.
Oh, my
That's crazy.
Wow. So it was icy. Well, crisp. It's very crispy here in Toronto. It was a little bit of, it was frozen on my windshield, but just a little tiny bit. They haven't had a real frost in Toronto. The annual flowers are still standing here, but obviously that's not going to last much longer. Just a quick mention that Monday, November 11th, so that's almost, you know, 10 days from now, 7:30 p.m., Agent Court Garden Club is meeting at the Knox United Christian Education Center. That's 2575 Midland Avenue. The speaker, Silvana Croce, is doing a number on Christmas arrangements. Boy, it seems a bit early for that. But nevertheless, it's never too early to start thinking about Christmas and collecting up some of the great boughs and berries and dried flowers and things that are very available right now. And certainly a day like today is so beautiful. So let's all think about getting outside today if we can. And I am off to Barrie. So you went through, maybe not Barrie, but Aurelia today, Dean. I'm off to Barrie. The District 16 Ontario Horticultural Association is meeting, so it's quite a big group for the day, and lunch and everything else, so I'll be there for the after-lunch speaking engagement. My topic is beauty and the eats.
Lovely. Okay, so our paths crossed today, in a way.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's take our first break. We'd love for you to give us a call. We do have a couple of callers on the line now, but we have lots of room. So take a note of that call early, okay? And we will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we are back here on The Garden Show on this first weekend of November. Here we are, the 11th month, eh, Charlie?
And think about it. It's actually a good weekend for you to be away putting the cottage to bed because you gain an hour tomorrow. You get a 25-hour day. So
yeah.
Extra work.
Yeah.
It's great.
Extra
yeah.
work.
So
oh, lucky to be.
Say goodbye to daylight savings time and say hello to very dark nights.
Indeed. Indeed.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go to our first caller. We have Jean on the line. Mm-hmm. She's calling from Newmarket. Welcome to the Garden Show, Jean.
Good morning. Oh, that's weird. Jean's so good at being.
Are you there, Jean?
Good morning.
Oh, there you are. Good morning.
Oh.
You sound like you're.
Second, I'm gonna turn.
Yeah. There. Are you there?
Oh, I think we might have lost her. You know what? We're going to go to our next caller.
Sounded like she was.
Jean will call.
In a submarine.
Yeah, Jean will call back. Yes. Let's go. To Prakash,
yes.
Who is calling from Mississauga. Welcome to the Garden Show, Prakash.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a quick question on raised beds. And I've had a problem over the years where the roots have been growing from underneath into the raised beds. And a neighbor of mine said there's a fabric you can buy from these mm-hmm. big bookstores where you can line the base of the mm-hmm. raised bed. To prevent the roots from going up and let the water through. So mm-hmm. do you have any information on that?
Yeah, it's called landscape fabric. And
okay.
It, theoretically, yes, it's probably worth, so you've got a tree close by or reasonably close by to your raised beds and the roots are from the tree are coming up?
Yes.
Is it a Norway maple by any chance?
Yes, you're right.
Good guess. They have very vigorous roots. There is no question. Yeah. What I mean, is it reasonable for you to empty the raised beds?
Yeah.
And then lay down. Now, there's different qualities of fabric. It's kind of like the old J cloths. It's a woven polyester material that is woven in such a way that moisture should go through and air should go through. So roots still will benefit from the moisture and the air that's passing through the fabric, but it will slow them down. It won't stop them entirely. They're very, very vigorous roots. I'd be inclined. You grow vegetables in your raised beds?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I'd almost be inclined to lay down fabric. Or you know what I do? I put like thick cardboard down first, then I put fabric on top of the cardboard, and then I'd put my good quality triple mix back in the raised beds. That will certainly slow the roots down for a couple of years. It won't be a permanent location, but you know, unless you're going to pour concrete down there, there's no way you're going to stop those roots.
So cardboard then would stop them, would it?
It'll slow them down. And it is organic, so of course it will slowly decompose, so it will eventually disappear. The fabric will not, but it will certainly slow down that whole process, and of course it'll still allow that important moisture and air movement.
What is fabric called? Landscape fabric, right?
Yeah, landscape fabric. And like I said, you'll find different qualities. Some of it's very thin. Some of it's very thick. When you go to your local garden center, you're in Mississauga, so maybe go to like a Sheridan's or a big garden center, look for what they call the landscapers or professional landscape fabric, and you'll find it's more expensive, but it'll be more effective.
Right. Thank you very much. I'll try this out and let you know.
All right. Please do. Good luck with that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. Once again, the numbers to call. Toronto, 416-360-0740. Anywhere else within the province of Ontario, use this toll-free number, 1-866-740-4740. Let's go to Sharon in Grimsby. Welcome to the Garden Show, Sharon.
Hello, this is Sharon.
Good morning.
Hi, it's wonderful to talk to you too.
Yeah.
It's like the olden days when all the garden shows were on, and I got two that I listen to now, and I just love them.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks.
And what I wanted to tell you was I plant bulbs, and I plant a lot of bulbs, not just tulips. I plant those Brex lily trees, and they're expensive. Mm-hmm. Bulbs, and I'm telling you, I don't care what kind of thing it is, a tulip, a daffodil, my squirrels dig them all up. So what they'll dig them up, and then they just leave them. They're eating the tulips. You can just see they took a nick out of it, and then it goes flying. So you know what I'm doing is I take the little shovel, and I shovel very light down where I'm going to put the bulb.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put some dirt on top of the bulb.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put the dirt on top of the bulb. Then I take a can, like evaporated can or whatever, with the one end off.
Yeah.
And I put it over top of all that. Now the ground's already loose, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you just take a hammer and hammer it down and in the spring. And then you know where all your bulbs are, too. In the spring, you lift them up.
Oh, wow.
And
so that
it works for me.
That, so,
don't you think I didn't think a long time to figure this out?
I bet. So all those cans, upside down cans, are all in your garden all winter, and you can see them, obviously, and the squirrels can't do anything about moving
them.
They
don't bother them. Because, you see, I think they walk along the ground, and somehow they have some kind of special device in their brain or their paws, and they can tell something around there, right?
You're right. Yep.
I've got that out of the way because the can's there. That's what I think anyway.
And so in the spring, when you lift all those cans off and then the bulbs grow, obviously, do you ever have the squirrels come back and then bite the flowers off?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Just checking.
Oh, yes. That doesn't stop. I could just kill them.
I bet. I mean, you do such a good job protecting and then they still get you in the end. Oh,
they don't get the ball, but I'm just saying that I managed that at least.
All right.
So
very interesting.
Somebody wants to try it because it works for me.
Sure. It's a great tip. Thanks for sharing.
Okay. And thank you for your program.
Our pleasure. I love it.
Thanks very much for the call there. Oh, I'm just smiling from ear to ear. The ongoing battle with the squirrels.
Exactly.
Okay, give us a call. We will be right back with more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed, we are back here on The Garden Show. The numbers to call, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. We have a room on the lines. Don't wait to the last minute. No, let's go to Nancy right now, who's calling from Burlington. Welcome to The Garden Show, Nancy.
Oh, hi, Charlie.
Morning.
Last week, I listened to you tell someone about how to store their dahlia or dahlia. I'm never quite sure how to pronounce that.
Me neither.
and I've got the very large lily bulbs, and I've put them, as you said, put plastic in, and then I've got them in there. My question to you is, how damp do I keep the soil so that it doesn't dry out?
Okay, I just want to clarify, lily bulbs, like day lilies or real lilies?
Calla lily.
Oh, calla. Sorry. Okay, good. Got it. So callas. Callas. You know what? Not damp at all. So you've got a sterile medium, whether it's peat moss or perlite or vermiculite, and you just make sure those calla lilies go under into the dark. I usually just use like a cardboard box, line it with plastic, drop in my peat moss or whatever. With a spritzer, I just spritz to make it slightly moist. Once it's slightly moist and you've got that plastic lining, it is just a case of closing the whole box up so everything's nice and dark and keeping it those tubers cool so they won't grow. And honestly, one of the ways that's, if you can do it, it's like the easiest way for those of us that are, you know, lazy type gardeners, is if the lilies or any of these tender bulbs are in pots, just leave them in the pot and then roll that pot into your garage or, you know, shed or somewhere where it's frost free and just leave them alone in the pot. Never deal with them at all because they're nice and dark under the soil in the pot. But if they're in the ground, you got to get them up.
Yeah, that's a great idea of leaving in the pot. The problem is that, that the pots that they go in are so large, I can't roll them.
Right.
But the concept is really good.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you put plastic over the top as well as the plastic around the bottom and the sides?
Yeah, but loosely. Like, it's just a big enough piece of plastic that it can kind of fold over the top, and then I close the box.
Okay.
Yeah, don't make it all sealed.
Let's hope I keep them because they are so big. Mm. They should be just wonderful next year.
Sweet. Well, do check them. Like, check them every 4 to 6 weeks. Open up the box. Open up the plastic. Move the media. Look and see what's going on with the bulbs. Feel them. Make sure they're not. If they're too wet, they'll start getting mushy. If they're too dry, they'll start shriveling and wrinkling.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much. That's very helpful.
Good stuff. Thanks for calling.
Okay, and let's go to our next caller. We have Teresa on the line calling from Mississauga. Welcome to the Garden Show, Teresa.
Good morning, Charlie.
Teresa.
Good morning. Charlie, I have a weeping fig, Ficus benjamina, and it was doing just fine, no problem at all. It actually belongs to my daughter. They're under renovation, so I've had it for about 3 months here, and it was doing well. It's about almost 2 weeks. It's losing a lot of leaves. What's going on?
Okay, so where is it in your house? Tell me what direction the window faces.
Faces west. West.
Okay, that should be good.
And I have like the blinds, and I don't have them fully open for the afternoon sun. Mm-hmm. It gets in direct light.
So bright, nice and bright.
Yes.
Okay, so what you're experiencing is very common, so don't worry. If it's been Ficus benjamina or Benji trees are absolutely famous for hating to be moved. Once they're happy, you just leave them alone. So,
yeah,
of course,
yeah,
it
yeah.
got moved to
and
your house.
It's been there about 2.5 months already, so I haven't moved it.
No, but just that 2.5 month ago move, it was like cursing you for the last 2.5 months because you moved it. It's fine. What's happening right now is autumn. Even though this is an indoor plant and it doesn't know that winter's coming, it does know winter's coming. And it is doing a very natural, let's just clarify, the leaves that are dropping are the older leaves, right? The tips still have green leaves?
Yeah, the older leaves, yes, but they're nice and green. They're not yellow at all.
No, well, do they turn yellow before they drop or they just drop?
They just drop.
Okay, let's make sure there's no vent, the hot air furnace vent blowing anywhere near this plant.
It's about, I'd say, 2 feet away.
Okay.
But it's behind a chair. We have a chair beside it.
Okay. All right, so the air is not blowing anywhere near the plant?
Not right directly, no.
Okay, because those little vent deflectors can be great, right? They deflect the air. Instead of going up, it deflects the air along the floor.
Okay, I will be picking one up.
Yeah, I would. And remember that Ficus benjamina is really kind of it's a tropical plant, subtropical plant, and it likes a fair amount of humidity. And we are starting to lose our humidity now as the temperatures drop. So if you have the time, use a little mister bottle and give it a little spritz once or twice a day just to raise the humidity. Consider a tray of pebbles below the plant. With water in the tray, in the pebbles, the plant sits up on the pebbles. So again, you've got that extra humidity around the plant. You'll find that it'll look a bit sparse through the winter, but as long as the tips are green and everything is, looking okay, then we'll talk about doing some cleanup pruning in February, and it's going to burst forth with tons of new leaves in March.
I'm not losing the plant then.
No, but be careful. Don't overwater. All of our indoor plants use less water in the winter because, again, they're slowing down. Days are shorter, even shorter than ever. And of course, with the leaves getting lost, again, less water. So a moisture meter might be a good thing if it's a fairly big pot, so you'll know when to water.
I do have a soil meter, and I do measure it before I water.
Good.
And I don't give it a lot of water, just a little bit.
How big is the pot?
It's not very big. I'd say it's about 6 inches.
Oh, that's tiny.
8 inches across, maybe.
Okay. How tall is the plant?
The plant would be about at least 4 feet or so.
Oh, wow. Okay. So there, put that on your list of things to do next spring as well, which is to pot it up to a 10-inch pot.
Oh, okay. And I'll do it now, right?
I wouldn't. The plant is already showing you that it's under stress when it's dropping the leaves, so I wouldn't add to its stress.
Okay, I'll do that.
Spring.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Teresa. Charlie.
Yeah.
Speaking of falling leaves, okay, there are many falling leaves out there. I get this comes up every year as well. We've been doing a little bit of both. Like, you know, Gail ran the lawnmower over them about a week ago, but I think she's always tempted to rake them up because she was brought up in an era where her parents just removed them all the time.
I know. The scorched earth policy.
Yeah.
Right. So when Gail ran
Your thought?
Well, when Gail ran the lawnmower over the leaves on the lawn, did she have a bag on the lawnmower or not?
No. She just ran over them and let them sort of be on the ground.
Okay. And do you have a mulching blade on your lawnmower?
That I wouldn't think, no.
Okay. So
it would be a different type of blade?
It's slightly different because what a mulching blade does is, as you know, when you run a lawnmower over the lawn, there's a blade spinning around and it works like a centrifugal force. It lifts the leaves up, or in the case of a lawn, lifts the blades of grass up, and then we slice through. So a mulching blade is designed in such a way that it holds those cuttings up in the air a little longer, so they get a double cut. They get swiped again with the blade before they drop. So all your leaves and your grass blades, okay, etc., are chopped smaller, and so your decomposition, of course, is faster. Because as we know, the smaller the chunk of organic material, the faster it'll decompose. So I think what Gail did is fine. I'm a huge fan of leaving the leaves on the property, never sending them away to anybody. Keep them. You spent money on water and fertilizer and everything else. You grew those leaves. Those are your leaves. So keep the leaves. Running them on the lawn can work, particularly if the chunks end up small enough. If you find that they're maple leaves and the chunks are, the size of a toonie, by the time you've run them over with the lawnmower, run the lawnmower again. You want them small. You want them about the leaf size to be about the size of a quarter if they're on the lawn.
Okay.
Okay. And if you would prefer to just rake them up. Now, again, see, this is where the bag for me goes on the lawnmower. I rake my leaves in a big pile, use my bagged lawnmower to take that pile, suck it through. I use the lawnmower like a vacuum, basically. Suck all those leaves up through the mower into the bag. Even sometimes dump the bag, do it again. So you've got real nice little crumbled leaves. And then all the gardens, 2 to 4 inches of leaves just laid right on top of everything.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know what? We do have a bag for the lawnmower.
Oh, there you go.
Lawnmower. We just never use it, so we could certainly put it on for that purpose.
I would. That's the only reason for the bag, because it's not like you're going to collect grass clippings, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. No. Great tip. Great. But
yeah.
Absolutely.
Because I know that
we've got. Yep.
No, I was just going to say it can be a bit controversial. That's that. What do we do about our leaves and that bagging of the leaves? But honestly, back in my suburban Richmond Hill home, my neighbors used to just bring me their bags of leaves because they just didn't know what to do with them. But I used them all.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. No, good. Good. Absolutely. Okay. We're going to go to our next caller. We have Sharon calling from Gravenhurst up in the north there. Welcome to the Garden Show, Sharon.
Hi, good morning. I was just phoning in with a helpful hint. I know last week that fellow from Utah called about keeping the cat out of the plants.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the same issue. He'd like sitting on top of them and squishing them. But aluminum foil, cats don't like aluminum foil.
Yep.
And if it's a dense leaf plant like my ivy, I poked about 2 to 3 inch wide spokes and poke them in between the leaves and have them. It looks like I'm growing aluminum foil, but and it has stopped it. And then he started to get into my shamrock, and they weren't dense enough, so I just wrapped foil halfway around the pot so he couldn't get to it. So, and it has definitely helped. So it was just a little helpful hint.
Yeah,
and I used
to
put it in front of my bird cage until I got something else to keep them away from my birds. So multiple tasking there. So it is, and if they get in the dirt in your plant, like if you've got a big floor plant, just put foil over top of the soil and
keep
them out of that.
It's true. Cats, not all, actually I've seen the odd cat just be oblivious to tin foil, but generally speaking, cats hate tin foil. They will not walk on it.
No, they don't like the noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, that was my helpful hint for the day.
Yeah, good stuff. Thank you for that. And you're right, Leo called last week, and he's now become a cactus grower to protect his plants from the cat.
A bit cheaper than testing cactuses.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay,
thanks, Sharon.
Well, thank you very much. Enjoy your show and have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks a bunch.
Great. Thanks so much, Sharon. That's very funny. The squirrels, the cats, we got all sorts of issues with these furry creatures going after our plants.
It's true.
Numbers to call us. We got lots of room on the line right now. So now's the time, especially if you haven't called us before. Why not be a first-time caller? Okay, and then I'll give you the garden wings. Mm-hmm. I haven't passed out any today. I got endless garden wings.
Wow.
Give us a call, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. Let's go to our next caller. We have Grace on the line calling from Etobicoke. Welcome to the Garden Show, Grace.
Oh, hi there. Thank you, Charlie, for taking my call. Just a really quick question.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had the dahlias in the garden, and I've pulled them up, right? Mm-hmm. I've pulled the bulbs up. I've cleaned the bulbs so they're nice and dry.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to make sure I'm storing them in the house over the winter so they don't, dry up or die on me.
Yeah, they'll die if they freeze. You want a frost-free location.
Okay. So right now, I don't know if this is right. I've got a bag of potting soil, so I lined a cardboard box.
Mm-hmm.
With plastic,
mm-hmm.
Garbage bag, and then I put some potting mix down.
Mm-hmm.
I've laid the bulbs down, mm-hmm. and then I've covered the bulbs up a little bit mm-hmm. with the potting soil.
Mm-hmm.
Are we good? And then I just put it in the wine cellar.
Okay, just to check, the potting mix was brand new, never been used potting mix, right?
Correct.
Perfect. Make sure that you put enough mix to cover the bulbs. They need to be right under...
Okay.
Under the mix, because they do need the dark.
Okay.
And then
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great if you've got a wine cellar, because that's like perfect. That's a completely controlled atmosphere in terms of the temperature and even the humidity. So I don't, just be fine. Yeah, just make sure that they're completely dark, so they're under all that mix.
Okay, and then do I spray them at some point?
Okay,
or no?
Well, so this is a good question. I guess somebody out there, maybe a member of the Dahlia Society, should phone in and give us the definitive. When I've stored dahlias in the past, or dahlias, I have had some moisture as part of my storage. However,
okay.
Looking quickly on Google, of course, they're talking about they should be completely dry. And yet, if they're completely dry, I think you'll find that they'll start to shrivel on you. So there's this fine line between too wet and too dry. So maybe for now, since they're beautiful right out of the garden, for now,
mm-hmm.
don't bother putting a lot of moisture around them. Just pack them away into that potting mix. Then put a little mark in your calendar 4 or 5 weeks from now. Go in, open the box, take a look. See what they look like. If they look the same as when you put them away, you're fine. If they're smaller or more wrinkly or shrinking, then miss them a tiny bit. And they should by no means be rotting, because it'll be a fairly dry situation.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. Love your show.
Thank you, Grace. Appreciate your call.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks so much for the call, Grace. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Numbers to call, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. We will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed, we are back here on The Garden Show. Charlie, before I go to our next caller,
mm-hmm.
I just want to refer back to a call that we just had from Grace.
Yes.
And I know that you you have often pointed out that it's important to have for that storage fresh, sterile mm-hmm. soil, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, because... The last thing you need is some kind of insect infestation growing in that with those stored bulbs, you know, providing the food for those insects or, you know, any kind of a disease organism. So you want a really clean, sterile situation. So because remember, those tubers or bulbs, they've come out of the ground and we don't wash them. There's no soap and water. So they already have a certain amount of their own, you know, particles of soil attached. So there's going to be a little bit of whatever in that soil in the terms of, because soil is full of all kinds of microorganisms we can't see. We assume they're going to be positive. We, you know, err on the side of being positive about what's going to happen with that little bit of soil that's going into storage with the tubers.
Okie dokie. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have Erica on the line from Burlington. Welcome to the Garden Show, Erica.
Thank you. Good morning. I have a question about when to fertilize a lilac bush that's about 6 foot tall. We trimmed it in the spring after the flowering.
Okay.
And I have a bag of sheep manure because it needs some boosting.
Sure.
When do I best fertilize with that manure?
Okay, so adding sheep, like composted sheep manure, to any of our garden plants is a great idea. So there's two times I would do it. One is, remember, you're not going to raise the level of the soil around the lilac dramatically. It's not like you can put 6 inches of manure up the stem of the lilac, because that would be very, you know, damaging to the plant. So at the end of the day, you're going to, depending on if the, is the lilac growing up out of a lawn or is it in a garden somewhere?
Well, it's sort of in a raised flower bed in front of the house.
Okay. Right. So there's other flowers, et cetera, around it. So that bag of manure is going to be spread across that entire raised flower bed or in the area where the lilac is.
Right.
You could put that manure down in the spring, anytime in the spring, you know, April, May, which will obviously boost the plant's growth when it is starting to grow. Or don't do it now, because you're in Burlington. You're still, your soil, everything's still pretty alive in Burlington. I'm sure you have roses blooming in the neighborhood, et cetera. So it's not, right now wouldn't be optimal. I would wait another month. If you'd like to just get that bag of manure out of your garage, then wait a month and then spread it out onto the raised bed, and it'll just sit there and be ready to go in the spring.
So near the freezing time.
That's right. When things are dormant in the ground, everything's kind of shut down. Yep.
I just want it in there before it starts to bloom, because it needs a boost.
Right, exactly. So if you think you're going to be challenged to get out there too, you know, early in the spring, then get out later in the fall.
Okay.
All right.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks very much for the call, Erica. Let's go right to our next call. We have a first-time caller on the line, I believe. Mario from Vaughan. Welcome to the Garden Show, Mario.
Thank you. Thank you. I listen to your show all the time, but I'm a first-time
caller. And you are a first-time caller, right, Mario?
Yes, he is.
Oh, yes, yes, for sure.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you the garden wings, okay? There we are.
Garden wings?
Oh, welcome. Cool. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I have a quick question about a majestic palm.
Mm-hmm.
Can they be stored outdoors at all, or in a garage, or in saved for the winter?
Not unless your garage is guaranteed frost-free, but not outside.
Not outside, eh?
It is a tropical plant, right?
Yes, yes. Okay, now, I do have a heated garage.
Okay. And do you have any light in that garage? Windows?
No, no windows. Just lighting. Or would I need to put up to get some kind of gardener's lighting, or
is it just too big to bring in the house, or you just have nowhere to put it in the house?
It's a fair size, and I don't have any place to put it in the house. It would really be in the way, because I guess the patio door would be the only solution.
Right. So it's a majesty palm. Beautiful, beautiful, you know, very graceful palm. Obviously a huge, you know, ornament in the garden outside in the summer, but a challenge in the winter. Okay, so technically you should or could keep that plant growing in your heated garage. You want to keep it at room temperature, though, so that's a pretty warm garage. humidity is going to be a thing. You're going to want to run a humidifier, and it needs light. It needs bright indirect light for hours every day. So you would need to invest in a plant light and not just like a little bulb hanging from the ceiling. Right. Depending on the size of the plant, you're going to want to. And some of the grow lights these days are amazing because they're just so much better than they used to be. They're all LED based, and you might spend $150 to buy the light, but you can put it on a timer and it just does a beautiful, it's purple actually, light onto your plant, and the plant will absolutely thrive if you just give it sort of a good light 12 hours a day, on for 12, off for 12.
Right.
Water as necessary. Don't fertilize all winter, but yeah, light, humidity, and heat are going to be your challenges.
Okay. You know what else I have? I have like a patio, enclosed patio, which is lit very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all glass with blinds, which I can control the lighting.
Sure, yeah. And is it a three-season room or is it insulated?
It's insulated.
Okay. So, you know what?
Did that work?
It could, yeah. It might get very hot on a sunny day and then very cold at night, I guess, would be the challenge. Again, this plant, it really doesn't want to be less than about 10 degrees Celsius. So if you could ensure that at night it wouldn't get any colder than 10, then that might
work. A little heater, no?
Yeah, that could work. Yeah, nice bright spot is really what you need. And then you're going to just, check the plant constantly. Make sure that it's not overwatered, but, talk to the plant. It's going to respond to some love and care and you visiting it rather than just putting it out there for the winter and forgetting about it.
No, if I didn't want to worry about it, I wouldn't be called.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. Well, good luck
Thank you very much.
Yeah, let us know how that turns out. Don't be a stranger.
I will, for sure. Thank you very much for taking the call.
Okay, thanks very much, Mario. Okay, we have to take our final break. We'll be back with more here on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we are back here on The Garden Show, and we have a handful of callers on the line and not a whole lot of time left, so let's get right to it. We have Jenny calling from Toronto. Welcome to The Garden Show, Jenny.
Oh, good morning, and thanks for taking my call, and I'm a first-time caller, too.
Woo!
Oh, okay, well, here we are. There we are. We are
Wings.
All ready for you. Thanks for being a first-time caller.
Wings for you.
Okay, nice to listen. My problem is my maple tree is getting a bit old now, and it's been struggling for a few years. We had the mold on the leaves. We've been giving it fertilizer sticks. We've been putting pruning sealer on it. The problem that the leaves have come back well, it's done everything well except the bark on it, and the bark is breaking away. Should we bind it for the winter with burlap, or do we take it off?
No, leave the bark there. So give me an idea, how old or big is this tree?
I would say the houses were built around 50, 60 years ago, so it's probably all of that.
Okay, and do we know what kind of maple it is?
Oh, it's called
a Crimson King, if it's got red leaves all summer. Purple leaves all summer.
What's the other one that's a very common one?
Norway maple.
Is there a Manitoba?
There's a Manitoba maple, but it doesn't turn red at all.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it isn't, because that's what I was told it was. Maybe you're right then. Yeah.
It'd be very different trees. Manitoba maple typically grows on an angle. They never grow straight up. I don't know why. So they always grow on an angle. And they are very fast growing and can be very invasive and can be problematic in a urban situation just because they become so low.
No, I don't think it is. It's nice, and it's right in the middle of the garden.
Yeah.
Gives lovely coverage. We keep it trimmed down so it doesn't grow too high. So it's like a ball shape. It's a nice tree, and I'd love to save it.
Yeah, so you know what I would do? The bark is concerning. Trees need their bark. They absolutely need their bark. Don't remove it. Yes, you can bind it, but I don't think that's the point. The point is to find out why the bark is doing what it's doing. It shouldn't just shred off for no apparent reason. So here's where you go to your, well, there's two ways. Excuse me. LandscapeOntario.com website, LandscapeOntario.com. Go into that website, and through that website, it'll say, what are you looking for? You'll say, I'm looking for a certified arborist. Then it'll say, what's your postal code? You'll give your postal code, and it'll come back with certified arborists in your that you service your postal code. And that's what you need. You need a visit to your yard, like a consult with a certified arborist who will see on site and look and come up with suggestions for the next steps for you. That's the best thing I can suggest, because on the radio, it's so hard to diagnose tree issues, particularly, you know, big old valuable tree issues. And so that's an on-site consultation. It should not cost you anything, but that arborist will provide you with a report on what it will cost for the next steps.
Okay, that sounds good. And can you give me again, what was the name of the maple you think it is?
It sounds like, okay, so it's a form of Norway maple. If it has red or purple leaves all summer through the growing season, it's called Crimson King.
Crimson King.
Very popular tree for the last 40 years.
Norway maple sounds familiar. Mm-hmm. Maybe I got that bit wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They still sell them. People love them. They just give you that purple leaves, you know, beautiful ornamental tree.
It's a beautiful tree. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I just would love to save it, but the poor bark is getting in such a state. But putting the fertilizer things in last year really seems to have helped the leaves, and that's been a biggie for me. We're working. So I'll take your advice. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a tricky one.
Thanks very much there, Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, we're going to take a chance. I'm going to go to Joan. Joan, this is going to have to be really quick because we're running out of time. Welcome to the Garden Show, Joan.
Yes, first time.
Oh, my goodness, another first-time caller. Okay, yeah, here we go.
Here we go.
Listen for years.
Sweet.
We are.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Yes. I bought some perennials, various perennials, to put in a newly dug garden early August.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't get anybody to dig my garden out for me.
Okay.
So I have to winter these perennials.
Yeah. And they're in
and
pots.
They're still in their pots.
Yeah. Do you have anywhere on your property that you can just bury the pots for the winter?
No, because nothing's dug for me and I can't do it myself.
There's nothing dug. There's nowhere where you could do that.
No.
You're in Welland. Okay, so do you have any big pots on your property, like bigger than what these pots are that the perennials are in?
Well, I was thinking of tote boxes.
Okay, yeah, that's a... So if you did, you know, the big tote boxes, you'd have to fill them with any soil you want. It could be black earth, triple mix, garden soil, whatever. You need to fill them. You need to locate those tote boxes, preferably on the east, southeast side of your house. Not pure south, not pure north, and definitely not west. So an eastern location. Put the boxes there, fill them up, and then sink the pots under the soil that the perennials are in right now. You can have them all banged close together, pot to pot, no problem. Just get them all in under the soil and make sure they're watered before you do that. And then depending on how quickly winter comes, just leave them alone. If we don't get winter for a month or so, you may have to water along the way. But that's my best suggestion. Thanks, Joan. We are
Yeah, thanks, Joan. With that, we'll have to go.
Time.
Yeah, we've run out. We're out of runway.
How does that happen? My goodness, we need more time on this show. Good thing we've got an extra hour tomorrow. We should grab that hour right now. Okay.
We should. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah,
eh?
So 2 a.m. Join us at 2 a.m. We'll be broadcasting for an hour. It'll still be 2 at the end.
Love that.
Thanks, Dean. Enjoy your cottage.
Thank you.
Don't work too hard. And thanks, Anthony. Couldn't do any of this without all his supreme techie help. And great calls. Keep them coming. See y'all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.